Poochie, the podcast. This is our second season, and we're focusing on power couples in the arts. On today's episode, we spoke with husband and wife duo, Pilar Proffitt and Rob Bristow. Pilar and Rob are architects, designers, furniture makers, and all-around creatives. If you've been a long-term listener, you may remember that we interviewed Rob in our first season. He was so great, we had to have him back again. In this episode, we talk about their decades-long collaboration, designing hotels, how life has changed during the pandemic, and more. We hope you enjoy today's conversation. Rob, Pilar, thank you both so much for joining us today. We couldn't be more excited. This is actually Rob's second time on the podcast, so our first veteran. And Pilar, we can't wait to hear more about you, Rob, your collaboration, everything that you've been up to recently. So Ralph, why don't you start the introductions?
Well, hello, Rob and Pilar, longtime friends of the Poochie family and collaborators. Rob, we've done numerous solo shows together and a few collaborations as a husband and wife team. So we have a long history together. And one of the things I like to start off with was, over the years, I've had so many people say to me, how is the Ralph Poochie Hotel doing in Georgetown? We received so much press when that went down that a lot of people just think it happened. Why don't we start our, you know, conversation about that? It was an exciting time for everyone, and then the recession hit. What do you have to say?
Oh gosh, that was such a blow. I can still remember. I remember being in my backyard and getting the call, and then we there was this moment of that we all thought it was actually going to happen, because when we got you called actually, and I think I answered the phone, Ralph, and I remember going into my backyard going, okay, I can't let anybody hear this because maybe it isn't true. And then we had this moment where we were, you know, the team got together and we all said, let's just figure out how to make this work. And so there was like, okay, we're going to make it work. And you know, I think we got the numbers down and all of it was sort of going in the right direction. And then they wanted us to continue. They wanted to get the permit set so that they would have it, and we have to get the zoning approval. So we finished up all of the documents, and Rob and I went down to DC, and we had to sit in front of the board and get approval, knowing this project wasn't going to happen. And it was the hardest thing I think I've ever had to do. We got approval.
It's ready to go. The papers are filled.
And it was a really exciting concept. Just last week, I saw that a hotel, I think, designed by Jean Nouvel, and they were talking about the lobby being an art gallery. We were going to do our art gallery back in, what was this, 2007 or 2008, right?
Seven, yeah.
Seven. We were going to have art gallery in the entrance. I remember we had the music was set. Yep. I had some ideas about bringing in a curator to have unique films being able to be accessed in the rooms curated by, you know, under Ralph Poochie's, the brand's direction. And obviously you guys had so much to, so much to do on this project. Why don't you talk about some of the specifics, some of the exciting things that we were going to do? Because now, 13 years later, you're seeing a lot of these ideas mm-hmm. being like touted as the newest and the freshest ideas.
You know, it's so true. It was a great concept. I remember when we met John Cirielli at Blackstone at this garden party, he looked through some of the brochures. Somebody had handed him my Poochie brochures, and he looked up and he said, I want to do a furniture hotel. And nobody had really done that. Now I think they're selling, you know, furniture right out of hotel rooms. But the concept was so nice and simple. There were five floors, 100 rooms, 20 rooms per floor. Each of the 20 rooms was going to have the furniture by one of your designers. And I think it was Jens Rizom. It was us. Who was it? Patrick Nagar, yeah. Chris Larica.
And Paul
Matu.
And Paul Matu. That's right. Mm-hmm. And you entrusted Pilar and I to sort of pull the whole thing together. And the lobby was going to be, as you said, a gallery space where people would come in and you would have openings. You had Basta Pasta going to be the restaurant next door, which would be amazing and so well fits with who you are and who your brand is. It was a great concept. And the only thing is, as Pilar said, it ended because Blackstone knew a year ahead of all of us that the world was getting ready to crash.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a really missed opportunity for all of us. I think, you know, Blackstone and Washington, D.C. But the good part of the story is that you continued and, you kept pursuing your dreams of doing a hotel. And then ultimately a hotel did happen. Why don't you talk about that?
So that was really fun. We were doing, in between that, we got bit by the bug. It was, we were doing, residential work and we were designing furniture. We called it little architectures at the time, and art and sculptures and just anything that kind of came our way. And then from that moment, once we got handed the plum and then the plum got taken away, we got bit by the bug and we needed to figure out how to do more of that. So we'd done a couple of smaller projects, inns and restaurants and that kind of thing. And then we were asked to put together a proposal for hospitality design. They were doing for us to basically bring some people in the industry together and for us to speak about, to put together the proposal to speak about hospitality design. And we chose to make our proposal hospitality design, authenticity. And we were given this speech in Las Vegas. So the whole thing was really kind of crazy. Anyway, we went in and we had this whole thing together and we brought over a restaurant person and we brought over an owner operator and we spoke. And while we were there, Rob actually ran into somebody. And as he runs into this guy, they basically figure out that they went to high school together or to grammar school together. And that he said, well, what are you doing here, Ted? And Ted said, my wife and I are opening an art hotel. And he said, what are you doing here, Rob? And Rob said, my wife and I are speaking about designing hotels. So, we met them at 3 in the afternoon. And by 3 a.m., we were hired to design their hotel, which was really great. And they were fun. And we just had such a great time pulling that together. And it was a new journey. So we got to sort of pull together the next version of what we were doing for you guys, but with a different set of clients.
Fantastic. It was nice because it was down in Richmond, Virginia. It's called Quirk Hotel. And it was sort of an art-centric hotel because they had an art gallery called Quirk. And this was to be housed in a former department store. So it had this magical ground floor of 18 groin vaults that we got to sort of thread our way between with beautiful objects, basically sort of trying to set off the space from the front desk to the bar and the coffee bar and the banquettes that Pilar designed that sort of snake their way right through the space, really sort of setting off the majesty of what was already there. And then upstairs, this was kind of incredible. Upstairs, because it was a department store, the windows are up at 6 feet high, the window sill. So you couldn't see out of the windows. And it was a really, and the current architects had the plan, okay, we're going to raise the floors 2 feet so people can see out of the windows, which was very expensive and we would lose the historic floors. And Pilar had this lovely idea based on when she was living in Florence and her apartment had a similar situation. And there were beautiful stone steps up to a window seat. So we effectively recreated that all around the hotel, saving them a pile of money and having this really nice feature. Actually, they're not unlike your bureaus in your house, Ralph, or maybe it's your beach house. We made those going across with some steps in between them. to step up, and now there's a nice place. So it made for a nice move.
Yeah, and I think we were bringing in things too, like we noticed that all throughout Richmond, there were, you know, sort of these double doors and transoms everywhere. So we made sort of, we designed our own version of that for all the bathrooms. We thought about, you know, portraits. There's, portraits are, you know, something that you see all over these southern homes. So we created an area for portrait walls. And so now the art gallery then supplied, you know, had an artist produce all these sort of portraits of people in these kind of funky ways for the wall. So, you know, it was interesting because we had started with this Ralph Pucci hotel. And even there, we were looking at, you know, we were using your artists in the corridors as well and bringing them into the rooms where we were taking sort of this high-end version of a hotel. It was true. It was really before things really took off. It was really something to start with the Pucci Hotel and then sort of bring that to the other project.
New hotel has won numerous awards.
Yeah.
It must be so gratifying for you guys.
Yeah, it was nice.
It was fun. You know, what's really nice is that whole part of town, they were trying to start an arts district. And it was, when we first started, I mean, we're stepping the homeless problem in the area and there was gangs across the street. It was really a rough kind of part of town. And now it's really been great. It's very diverse still. You still have some good core businesses, you know, existing from the neighborhood before, but you have some new businesses. A shirt factory has moved in, a bakery, a really great clothing store where Pilar likes to spend all our money. It's been kind of amazing. That's been the most gratifying. The awards have been great, and we've all the top 10 lists, but I really like what it's done. I'm from Richmond, so it really, and I knew that area when I was a kid. I used to ride down on my bike to pawn shops. And my parents would get very upset with me. And now it's just fantastic. And some of the same pawn shops are still there.
It's like returning home.
It's nice to make impact. Yeah.
That's wonderful. So let's rewind a little bit. Tell us how you two met. You've been collaborating so closely, both as husband and wife and business partners for many years. How did it all begin?
With a phone call. Actually, it was kind of great. I worked in this architect's office, and I just worked there for one day. I walked in looking for a job, and they said, we've got to get a project out the door today. Can you help us? So I'm sitting there. This was back in the cut and paste days, and I'm down on the floor cutting and pasting. And at the end of the day, I talked to the principal. His name was Pete Anderson, and he asked me how I liked Virginia Tech, where I was currently in school. And man, I loved that school and I loved everything about it. And so I'm telling him all about it. And he said, well, my daughter's best friend has applied there. Can she call you? And I said, sure. And then he stopped and he paused and he said, I really like Pilar. So I did a little flinch and it's like, okay. And about, it took forever for her to call. She's just so busy, I guess. And but, you know, 3 or 4 weeks later, she called up, and I'm going to take credit. I talked her into coming.
You did.
And I'll never forget, I walked in to check into school later that, after Labor Day, and I said, I used to flirt with Peggy Moles, the secretary, and I walked in, and I said, by the way, Peggy, did someone named Peeler Prophet show up? And she looked over her glasses and she said, yes, like that. So I went upstairs into the studio and there she was. I had to peel a boyfriend off her and then we've been dating ever since.
Amazing. Did you like Virginia Tech as much as Rob?
I did. It really changed my life in many ways. I love Trinity too. And then... But while I was at Trinity, I actually wanted to go to architecture school. I had come from a family of architects, so I was sort of definitely pushed in that direction. And so then I went to Virginia Tech, and it was an amazing experience. We had all sorts of I don't know, just really great thinkers teaching us.
So right after graduation, is that when the collaboration in terms of work began?
Before, actually. I was at my house. So I grew up in Great Neck, Long Island, and I was at my house and I got a call from a friend that said, I have a friend who wants to open a sort of a gift shop in Brooklyn. And I gave her your name, and I'm still in school. So I get the call and I talk to this woman, Linda, and I'm on the stairs in my attic, fielding my first project call. And she tells me what her project is, and it was on Atlantic Avenue, and this is way before Brooklyn was Brooklyn. And I was like, man, that's gutsy. I had lived in Brooklyn before I went to tech, so I knew exactly what she was talking about. And she wanted to do this store, and I said, that's great, I'll do it. And by the way, I have this boyfriend who's really handy with tools. Can I bring him? So I went back. He had already graduated because he was working for Paul Rudolph. I had already, and I went back and I quickly finished. And I said, we got to do this job. So Rob got a giant truck, took his tools, and his dog picked me up at school. And we drove up to Brooklyn. We lived with these people for, I don't know, summer. And we designed and built their store.
Wow.
All within, 8 weeks or so. It was crazy. But that says everything about what we do right now. We sort of, guerrilla designers going in, figuring it out, with the materials in hand, cutting it up and sort of throwing it together. And Jim Zivick actually worked on it after we did, which is really interesting.
Very funny. That I didn't know.
Yeah.
Funny.
Yeah, it was funny.
I had forgotten that.
Yeah, he made the hangers for the fabrics or something. Yeah.
How funny.
So have things changed a lot since then? Do you feel like your work style is sort of evolved? Have you too? What's it been like?
They didn't know me, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, she's working smarter. I still want to get dirty. And there's just not enough time in the day to get dirty and do all that stuff. But it's interesting. We have this great workshop here. We're still producing special pieces for Pucci and for our private clients. And we also, we mock up things for people, and that's nice. It helps them feel and see and understand what we're trying to get at. It also helps us understand what we're trying to get at, which has been really sort of gratifying. So when we designed the Harney Tea Room down in Soho, I remember we mocked up the tea bar and mocked up some of the tea tables and the chairs, and we had 13 members of the Harney family come in and test it all out and feel it, and you get buy-in that way, and there were no surprises. So when it came time to sort of, we actually ended up furnishing everything, and so when everything showed up, it all clicked right into place, in a two-day installation. Prices held, budgets held, time frames held, and so it worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
But Pilar's sort of more focused on a larger scale, which these hotels are, which has its own set of challenges, I think.
Yeah.
How would you guys describe your style?
I think, it's funny because when we, back to the days of Virginia Tech, I said that I come from a family of architects, my brother and my father. So I had a lot of male influences early on. And as we grew, I started sort of going, wait a minute, I do like color. I do like paint. Rob's very thick. I'm very thin, So, I think as we've sort of grown, he's stayed steady, honestly. I mean, he is steady Eddie, and I'm sort of dancing around that. So artistically, I feel like, Rob is, his work, but it's he's about thickness, he's about heft, he's about sensibilities and all of these things. And I'm really more about the narrative and more about the emotional aspect of design, which I think is why I love hotels so much, because I love to create those experiences. And but in that, I'm also incredibly rangy because I'm thinking big picture, and I'm also thinking down to the smallest detail, because I think that the smallest detail feeds that big picture, and the big picture feeds that small detail. And so when I'm working, it's a, you know, the room is a mess. I got stuff all over the place. And, you know, Rob is talking about like this one piece of furniture. And I'm like, yeah, yeah, figure that out. And then like, I'm looking at that and going to like, okay, what's the wall color? And like, what's the, you know, how can we turn that piece of furniture? Maybe that should be the door, not the piece of furniture, you know? So I'm all over the place. And he's like, just this one very strong line. Does that help?
I think that's fair. I think you're very rangy and very nimble and delicate and light. And I've liked some of the collections and things we've done for Pucci. The 2010 show comes to mind where, you know, you had sort of my ponderous, weighty things that suddenly had new colors and then, you know, that I probably wouldn't have thought to do, that ended up making some of them very successful. You know, these colored skins that laid on them. And then you did a bunch of lighter, thinner, prettier pieces that played off them so well and made them better. And I think that's been a nice hallmark of our collaboration, is that the stuff you do makes my stuff better, and hopefully the stuff I do makes your stuff better. And we've talked about it before. It's sort of a 1 + 1 = 3 becomes the goal.
I was going to say, we tackle so many things from architecture, you know, what we call big architecture, to small architecture, which are the furniture, the interiors, the you know, little accessories. It's really, I don't know where to stop, I guess, you know, and so we're really working on so many different levels. We see it as one thing, but most people are like, they're architects and they're interior designers and they're furniture designers and they're, and they compartmentalize that. And we don't, we just take it all on. We think of it as all one unit, one way of thinking, whole house.
It's just a different medium. Yeah.
So painting.
Yeah. I think that it's the outlets, those, and I've started to paint more and more recently. But you know, I'm loving that. My daughter's actually studying art as well. Now she's showing us her stuff, and it's so powerful. So it really gets, it's very exciting to me to have that outlet. I start writing poetry and kind of creating the, combining the poetry with the, with watercolors and working like that. It's extremely freeing.
How has life changed for you all since the pandemic started? I know that you obviously live together. You have an amazing space where you work from at your home, on your property. Have things felt much different for you?
Yes. Yes.
I'm kind of a homebody, so it's actually been fine for me. We've been blessed. Everything here at hand. My wife is going crazy, you know. A lot of these poems she's writing and then painting, or her anger at me. So she calls them redacted poems, and they're quite beautiful. And I just hope nobody can read them.
They gotta get all out, but then I gotta hide it so nobody knows. Yeah. No, but we all came home from the pandemic, and you know, half of us were doing really well, the homebodies, and the other half were going crazy. And yeah.
So, hoping to get on a plane soon.
How about work? Has there been a lot of projects going on, or a lot of them been on hold, or how's that been?
Interesting. Both. Yeah. I mean, from the world, we were putting out so many proposals this year. This year was going to be huge for us. And
hotels,
restaurants, all sorts of stuff. And it all went quiet immediately. And then But weirdly enough, this area is exploded, absolutely exploded. So now we have, you know, all sorts of residential architecture work. And Rob's taking on most of that, which is really very cool, because seeing the sort of, you know, that very sort of strong hand that he has in a bigger scale architecturally is great. It's like a new medium all of a sudden. Not that we haven't been doing that before, but now it's for some reason it's these sort of smaller scale projects that are coming our way, which I think are very cool. So very sculptural, very cool. But I'm going crazy.
Last time I think I spoke to Rob, you guys were close to doing something in Louisville or
Cincinnati.
Cincinnati.
Yeah, it's designed and ready for the pandemic to, you know, go away. But it's ready to go. Yeah, it was handed in construction documents. And
that's a hotel.
It's a hotel, very similar to the Pucci, and the same scale, old, you know, historic building with great bones, Daniel Burnham building in a urban part of Cincinnati that could use some help, revitalize the area. It's interesting. It's all sort of the same kind of types of projects.
Fantastic. Look forward to seeing that. Hopefully it gets going soon.
Yeah.
Are you guys specifically drawn to those old historic buildings, or would you be open to doing a project built from scratch?
A building? Absolutely. not drawn to the old stuff as much as you think. Rob, in a way, yes, because he actually studied architecture,
architectural history and preservation. I did a year of grad school at UVA doing that, so I understand it. And that year was critical in sort of developing a philosophy of how to build the next layer of history on top of existing, and each making the other stronger. Waiting eagerly, there's a large hotel project that they were getting ready to pull the trigger on in the spring before COVID. And then they had to go into redesign with their architect because there were so many offices. It was an office hotel project, brand new ground up in a flashy urban market. They're redrawing it to change the mix of hotel and office because of the changes wrought. So hopefully that's going to fire up pretty soon.
That's a ground up.
And that'll be interesting, because that'll be the first large scale new building, I think, that we've done.
Tell us a little bit about your day to day. So obviously, you know, you have life responsibilities, work responsibilities. How, bring us from morning to night. What does that look like?
I get up really early.
Yes. And then you wake me up.
I try to get away.
Probably because I'm snoring.
Yeah.
I feel a hand on my arm, a very gentle hand, but I'm not ready to go. But every morning I come down, and we have this beautiful corner. Actually, it's over here behind me. And Pilar is sitting there. Ideally, she's writing a friendly poem that she's getting ready to paint. And I go and I make the breakfast, generally for everybody. We only have one child home now in the pandemic, and we just have him for the school holiday, basically. So we're empty nesters for the first time this fall, which has been kind of crazy and liberating and fun at the same time. But there are also evenings we come home and we look at each other and like, okay, now what? I used to split my days, workshop afternoons because I get sleepy, and design projects in the mornings. And I've rejiggered that to give myself whole days. So Monday, Tuesday, and optionally Wednesday are workshop days. And Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I'm actually in the office on Saturdays too. I'm focused on architecture projects. We have gotten a lot of residential work around here. And to Pilar's point about the small scale, it seems like just big furniture to me. It's really interesting. And I've been lucky to get the right clients who are sort of wanting what Pilar and I offer. So it's been very nice.
How does the collaboration look like with your clients on the design? I imagine a lot of people are moving to the area in search of more space. And you guys are in Connecticut, just for our listeners that don't know, looking for more space and probably, you know, the connection with nature. Is it very collaborative typically, or do people look at your work and sort of know what they're expecting, or is it a mixture of both?
Yeah, hopefully they find us because they like what we do. Mm-hmm. We do have a little film that we send them pretty immediately, and we will probably direct them to this podcast when it's done. But it's interesting. Our town has changed. I used to be the youngest guy by far at the White Hart Tavern, and now I'm by far the oldest guy. We have strollers in the streets. We've got young people. The people who come here kind of are close to the outdoors. They're close to, as you just said, they're sort of understated. They want sort of quiet but good. And that's been sort of a nice fit for us. And the best ones in terms of the collaborations are the ones that talk to us and tell us exactly, the more specific they are with what they want, the better. Pilar designed a Brooklyn townhouse for this one family we're working for now, and that was an interiors job, and that finished last spring, and they've just hired us to do a major renovation in addition to their house. And they're great because they know how to talk to us. They know they're very honest about what they like, the directions that we're going in that they like, and the things that they are not as comfortable with. They're very direct. And I find, man, if you can get that communication going, every project has a real shot at being exactly what the person wants and then a bit more, which is always the goal. I think Pilar has said before, you know, we want to give you everything you're dreaming, but then also things you hadn't even thought of, you know, give you a little extra.
Yeah, we like to really read what the project is about. In you know, it can be a residential or a hotel, whatever it is. But then sort of take that and truly, you know, bring something else to the equation. I think that's our role, is to really give them something new and fresh. It's more fun that way, I think, than something that, you know, you've seen in a magazine already.
For sure.
And Pilar, who would you consider, you know, people who you aspire to or who influences your work? Who are some of your heroes?
So it's interesting. My father was my biggest influence growing up, and he was the everything person. So it's interesting, what we do is very similar to what he did. He was an architect and a designer, and he and an artist, and he also designed furniture. And so growing up, he worked for people like Buckminster Fuller and Raymond Loewy. And then later on Ward Bennett, and then Norman Jaffe. And so early years, you know, we were living in Puerto Rico, and Buckminster Fuller came to visit my parents and stayed with us. And it's all that we could talk about, that kind of thing. And then later on, as I was, you know, kind of in teenagehood, my father would be designing furniture, and he would create these pieces. He would mold them out of what we call puffy balls, because there were puffy balls everywhere, and he would sculpt these chairs. And then he'd literally take them in the car and take me with him and bring them to, you know, Percal to see if they would pick them up while he's working for Ward Bennett. So I was like, this was my life, you know. And as I kind of moved on, and then I went to Trinity, I was actually a studio arts major. I started in engineering and hated that. And then I became, and I was like, I want to be an artist. So I was a studio arts major. And at that point, I I sort of fell in love with artists like Moreau and Rothko, and wanted to, you know, sort of, I was very much in a painterly way. My senior thesis show, though, became kind of very experiential, where, you know, half the side of the room was these sort of old pieces of furniture that I had uncovered, and the other half were these new pieces of furniture that I had designed and made. They're very geometric. And it was about sort of having people walk in and having these two sort of opposing sides of myself, I guess, for them to see. So it's weird how it all kind of comes together. And then as we, you know, went to architecture school, and we were very much influenced by architects that were, you know, more sort of Bauhaus type of architects. And I was sort of falling in love with John Lautner, who is very sculptural, from, you know, Los Angeles, and broke every rule. And then as kind of, I fell in love with designing interiors and designing hotel interiors, because again, that sort of experiential feeling. I started looking at people like Ilse Crawford, you know, hard not to. And I would say, you know, typically I don't find myself sort of like grabbing and looking for influences. But they do, you know, you do feel a little something when you see some piece of work that you fall in love with. And I think that's kind of how I kind of move through life. I like seeing things. I like feeding. We actually have an apartment in the city now. So we go, you know, my job is to go into the city and feed and then come back and work.
It's definitely a nice juxtaposition that you get both aspects. You get the intensity of New York, although that's been dimmed a little bit with the space and the time to think and work in Connecticut. So that's awesome. And so, Rob, you gave us a phenomenal answer last time, so I'm going to let Pilar take this one again. But Pilar, what advice would you give to someone trying to enter the field?
I think it's really important to find yourself, to really, you know, if you want to do something fresh and different, I think it's really important to sort of speak to yourself and think about how can I contribute. And not everybody needs to create fresh, you know, but I think understanding who you are within the sort of tapestry of this business, and understanding what your likes are, understanding what you are drawn to, what you enjoy doing, will kind of lead you, I think, to figuring out what your path might be. It's strange because I never once thought about doing hotels until we met John Cirielli and when he wanted to do this project for Ralph. But once he did, and I realized what that part of design was like, it really hit a nerve within me. And I think that's probably the artist in me too, is sort of that, you know, it's a little bit of performance art when you're creating spaces like that. And the fact that you could kind of manipulate people's moods, and give them again something that they didn't expect, the unexpected, and then also sort of work with beautiful things, as we did with Ralph's Hotel, is very exciting to me. It's just a different set of media, a different set of paints that you're working with.
Wonderful. Any final words from either of you? It's such an amazing opportunity to connect with you guys again and to sort of check in after the pandemic.
Well, we're grateful to the Pucci family and the Pucci organization for providing artists such as us a platform, mm-hmm. into which we can express what we do. That's the biggest gift of all, I think. And you know, what did we heard Gormley say, it's not art till you show it to somebody. And that's what you guys do, and we're grateful for it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think it's a beautiful platform that you guys have created, and it's been fun and interesting and exciting to be, you know, a tangential part of it, and then with the hotel to be a bigger part of it. It's all, you know, it's been a nice long run.
It certainly has. And guys, I have to tell you, this is really great listening to your story, because it's an inspiring story. It's a great story. And you guys are a great couple. So
yeah.
Likewise. Too. I can't wait to see you guys.
Yeah. Here's to many more years of collaboration and all of that. You guys are the best. Thank you. Thank you for listening to today's conversation with Rob and Pilar. To learn more about them, check out their website at www.bristowprofit.com or their Instagram handle, bristowprofit.studio. Thanks, and we look forward to sharing our next episode with designer duo Everick and Lisa Brown in 2 weeks.